Last couple weeks, I've started out with some things about the absolutes of God's authority, and two of them I want to bring to our attention again. One of them is this. It's something that is true at all times and in all places. Amen. It's something that's true at all times and in all places. Another thing we said about the absolute of God's word is something that's always true no matter what the circumstances are. It's always, always true. Then we started to talk a little bit about some of the sources of the word of God that just blessed me. First one was, it's a source of faith. Say faith. Now, there's some things about faith, if you don't mind, I want to share with you. Faith is a place of rest. Faith is a place of rest. I said every week for the last 2 or 3 months, are we speaking what's happening or are speaking what's written? When I look around me, boy, if I start speaking what's happening, I'll tell you what, my faith level doesn't stay, it doesn't even show up. Because if we talk what's going on around us, it's not the same as talking what's already written. And yesterday I was just sitting and just praying in God's presence, and he said this to me. He said, an iceberg. He spoke it to me in my spirit that the tip of the iceberg, we hear that expression, on top of the water is nothing compared to what's below. So I did a little finding out, and there's 90% of an iceberg is below the water. So then I asked the question simply, what is the largest iceberg ever registered? And I was surprised. It was called B-15. Which was 183 miles long and 23 miles wide, which is bigger than the island of Jamaica. I'm here to tell you that God's word is able to take on any iceberg, and if God's word runs into an iceberg, hello, of circumstances and perilous time, it will not sink. There was a ship that once sunk. They thought the ship was unsinkable, so they didn't build the walls interior to go from top to bottom. They only built them like 3/4. So when they hit the iceberg, the water came in, there was no stopping it, and the boat went down. God's word is unsinkable. Amen. God's word is not going to sink on us. It's not going anywhere. It's going to be there in any and every situation that you and I will ever need. Amen? Amen. Faith calms the effect of the storm. Say, faith calms the effects of the storm. Remember the storm when the disciples were in the boat with Jesus? Now remember, they were all fishermen. Fishermen know better than to go out in a boat if there's a storm coming. They could smell a storm miles away. But there was nothing at all that was showing up or coming up. They had no radar like we do. But the Bible says, and a great storm came up. And then at the end of that, it says, and Jesus produced a great calm. So if a great storm comes, I'm looking for the great calm. Amen? When we move God out of first place in our life, we open the door for every other thing. Simple as that. When we take God out of our lives, take him out of society, chaos ensues. Perilous times are not uncommon. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 talks about what? Paul said to Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear. If God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, that tells us several things. Fear is a spirit. But there's fear everywhere and in everything. There's fear. That's where we are right now, where there's so much fear at every level, every place we go. Am I right? If you have a family, you have children, small or not, no matter what size your family is, you have somebody who's a little bit older, this fear rises up because of the experiences of these perilous times. Amen? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what?
Power.
Power.
Love.
Love.
Sound mind.
We're going to talk about love for a minute. See, when Paul told Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, that word love is agape love, unconditional love. So just for a minute, go over to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read the whole chapter. The Holy Ghost just said read the whole chapter. That's what we're doing. Listen to what it says. Beloved, do not put faith in every spirit, but prove and test the spirits to discover whether they proceed from God. That means spirits can come from God or come from somewhere else. Well, Colossians 3:15 says that Jesus has already disarmed. When the Bible says this, we fight not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers. See, all authority has been taken away from Satan according to the word of God. When Jesus said it was finished, Satan was finished. But he is still going around putting lies in the hearts of men. And the Bible says in the very last days, the last of the last days, he said this, that people will hear the truth and will not receive and accept the truth, even though it's the truth. They have believed the lie for so long that the lie has become their new truth. Amen? That simple. That's where we are. We are in the last of the last days. We are in the end of an age, as you and I know this. Well, Pastor, it makes me fearful. Don't let fear come in, because the Bible says we're aliens, we're passing through. Amen. This is really not my home. Amen. The spirit to discover whether they proceed from God or from many false prophets that have gone forth into the world. By this you may know and perceive and recognize the Spirit of God. How? Every spirit which acknowledges and confesses the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Messiah, actually has become a man and has come into the flesh of God and has God as its source. Is there enough information today to accuse me of being a follower of Christ? Yes, there is, without any question, because out of my mouth every day of my life, how I live my life, I live it according to the Word of God. You build a house on a solid rock, it's going to stand. But if you build it on sand, what's going to happen? It's going to sink and disappear. Amen? Everything we do should be built on the Word of God. Let's go to the next verse. And every spirit which does not acknowledge and confess Jesus has come in the flesh. But, oh my God, listen, it's not of God. This non-confession is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard is coming and now is already in the world. The Word of God is truth. It's truth, it's truth, and truth never changes. In fact, what did Jesus say? It says in Hebrews, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Always remember that, because that says that truth is a person. Where does the person of Christ live? On the inside of me. Say, He lives in me.
He lives in me.
He's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, lives in me. I like when Jesus walked in, the little girl they said was dead. Remember that? Dead. Oh, she's not going to live. And what happens? Jesus comes along and says what? She's just sleeping. And I remember a preacher years ago said this, and it came in my spirit this week. God gives us illogical instructions. That's how faith works. Remember when God spoke to Moses? Strike the rock. Now, why was he striking the rock? Did he even know? No. But water came out to feed how many people? 3 million. Now, hang on now. Plus the livestock. That's illogical. But the next time God speaks to Moses, he says what? Speak to the rock. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd have trouble hitting it in the first place, and now you want me to speak to a rock? They're going to think I got rocks in my head. See, God gives illogical instructions according to the Word of God that make no sense. We are not called to understand the voice of God or the Word of God. We're just called to live in obedience to what His Word says. Fair enough? I had to make three decisions in the last 3 weeks. In every situation, the Holy Spirit brought an answer that was better than the one I had in my head. And even when I got the answer, I didn't understand it. But see, I know enough to know that if I don't understand it, more than likely that's good. Because if I understand it, that makes the problem worse. Every one of those three situations was already worked out by the Holy Ghost, but I had to wait for the right timing of it. A good friend of mine, we were talking the other day, and he had said something to me with his wife several years ago, and I said, well, if that's what God's saying to you, but make sure the timing is right. And he said, Pastor, I'm so glad that we listened to you because the timing wasn't right, and now we're glad we didn't make that move. The Bible says this, at the appointed time, God sent Jesus. There's a set time for everything in God's Word. There's a time for everything. There was no time until sin showed up in the garden. Everything was eternity. Everything was eternal. God made time. He reached down through eternity and placed time on planet Earth so He could bring about the answer for your sins and my sins. His name is Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Last week we said this. Jesus said He came preaching the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And a king has to be the one who oversees the kingdom. He came preaching what? The kingdom. Let's look at verse 4. Little children, you are of God, you belong to him, and have already defeated and overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist, because he who lives in you is greater and mightier than he that lives in the world. Well, that settles a whole bunch of stuff. The Bible says this, Jesus came that none should perish and that all should come into the saving knowledge of Christ. His patience with his creation is to redeem as many people that he possibly can into the kingdom of God. I want heaven full. I don't want it empty. Amen? Look at verse 5. They proceed from the world and are of the world. Therefore, it is out of the world, its whole economy, morally considered, that they speak and the world listens and pays attention. We are children of God. There it is. We are children of God. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of my parents, but I'm a child of the King. God decided when I'd be born. God said, I want Paul to be born at this particular time, that particular year, to be a voice in a new century. I got the greatest job, the greatest opportunity to tell people about the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. I'm always full of energy when it comes to the word. I'm still driving by this house every week, and I went to give the guy the card to tell him about Jesus, and he was mowing his lawn. I'll have to get him the next time. So as we went up the road, my wife saw somebody, remember, hon? Sitting in a chair. And the Holy Ghost said, I'm supposed to talk to that lady. No, 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 my card is for that guy mowing the lawn. She says, no, I got to talk to that lady. So we flipped around and came in there, and she had two dogs, and I'm sitting in the car, I'm not moving, man. And my wife had a chance to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to her and handed her her card. Found out all about her family, and she prayed with my wife, tears coming down her eyes, and then we continued on our journey. See, my life is a pulpit. Your life is a pulpit to tell people about Jesus Christ. No more driving by people when God tells you to stop and tell them about Jesus. Well, you know, I'm a little late for my appointment. Be late for your appointment. The appointment with God is more important than your appointment or mine in an everyday routine. I'm stopping my car and I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen? Glory to God. Can we go a little further? We are children of God. Whoever's learning to know God progressively, to perceive and recognize and understand God by observation and experience, and to get an ever clearer knowledge of him. Every day, we need a clearer knowledge of the word of God. Every day, every day. You and I can't make it on a meal on a Sunday morning or a cold snack and expect the following week for us to, we ought to come in here like lions. I like the Bible says this. He said, Satan, as a roaring lion. He can't make anything. He's got to become almost like one. But I like to talk about the lion of the tribe of Judah. You understand that now? There was a roar at Pentecost. There was a roar of the Holy Ghost that showed up. Glory to God. You know, you said something to me a couple of weeks ago. We need to put on the full armor of God. And I never forgot that. That's why I brought this book this morning. Because I heard you say that again. I'm going to recommend this. We've taught from it before. If you want to find out how to prepare every day in your life, Rick Renner is one of the most powerful people I've ever read because he's so accurate with the Greek language. This book you want to get, don't put it in your library, put it in your eye gate. Are you ready for this? Can I read just the subtitles? Chapter 1, Spiritual Warfare Mania. Chapter 2, Fleshly Weapons versus Spiritual. Chapter 3, Resting in Our Redemption. Chapter 4, Does the battle still rage? Because the Bible says what? Beware of the wiles of the devil. What does wiles mean? With a road, a method. The enemy always goes one place, right to our minds. Ready for this? A menace from heaven. All about the devil's attack. Number 6, an important message to remember. Be strong in the Lord, chapter 7. The wiles, devices, and deception of the devil, chapter 8. Chapter 9, wrestling with principalities and power. How to survive, the loin belt of truth. The word of God is the loin belt of truth. Every weapon the Roman soldier wore was attached to the loin belt. Everything. Think about that. When he would take out his belt, he would always keep his sword attached. It's the only thing that was attached was his sword to the loin belt of truth. Amen? So listen, The Logos and the Rhema never were separated. Amen? That's what the Roman soldier did, and that's what Paul found out in prison. Isn't that great? He wasn't in prison, we wouldn't have this. The breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith. That's what we need to have in operation today more than ever before, because the Roman soldier would always have the shield of faith out in front of him. The shield was so important to him. Here's another one now, the helmet of salvation. And then the sword of the Spirit. And what I like is the 16th chapter, the lance of prayer. Because the Bible doesn't talk about prayer when it talks about the full armor, but the lance that the Roman soldier had, he brings out, was prayer. Amen? All of that's in this book, Dressed to Kill, Rick Renner. You go to his website or several other places. Put it in your library, then put it in your heart. Let me read the top of this thing. Are you ready? You don't have to take it anymore because you are dressed to kill. I'm not taking it anymore. A biblical approach to spiritual warfare and armor. Because if you don't have the truth in you, you do some crazy things. By this we know and recognize the Spirit, there it is, the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. So there's a difference between what? The Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. We've got to know the difference. If we don't know the difference between error and truth, we'll wind up going towards error. Error will not produce anything but fear on the inside of us. Fear always has a byproduct of confusion. Do we see a society in confusion? Without any question. But when I read the Word of God and put Jesus on the inside of me, when I wake up in the morning, it's still the same thing. Nothing has changed because the Word of God is solid. Amen. Glory to God. Beloved, here we go now. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Jesus teaches us a great lesson. When he looked down from the cross, he said, forgive them. See, one of the things about agape love is this. We can no longer keep track of wrongs done to us because that tells us we are not operating in agape love. How many of us ever had the error of keeping track of those things people have said to us or about us? There are different kinds of love. But God's agape love here in the Word is unconditional. For God so loved. Guess which love that was? That's agape love. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why? Because love forgives sin. When Jesus said it was finished, a new covenant was established. He no longer sees us or our sins and shortcomings. He sees Jesus, the new covenant, and what the finished work of Jesus Christ has done. So when you and I look at somebody, whether they're a believer or not a believer, we have to look at them through the eyes of God and of Christ, who looks and says, I don't see what you see because my agape love, my unconditional love, doesn't keep track of that kind of stuff. My pastor, you don't know what they've done to me. You haven't been crucified like Jesus, and he forgave those that did it. I was at a place a couple of days ago, and somebody was saying things, and I wanted to get up and say, if the Bible talks about forgiveness, that would solve your problem. People don't like to hear. You know why they don't like to hear that kind of stuff? Because it's the truth. Yes. Is there enough error out there? Yes. Without any question. Is there enough truth out there? Yes. There is, but the trouble is, the church isn't talking. Lord said something the other day, and I'm going like, oh, I don't want to. Simply this, our pulpits are empty today. And I said, what am I supposed to do with that one? He said, there are men standing in the pulpits, but they're empty in their words. I'm not empty of words. I'm going to say the truth. And if people don't like that, I can't help that. I have to stand before God someday, as you will, only I have to give an account for all the sheep that he's put under this covering, those I know and don't know, and I want to hear God say, well done, thy good and faithful service, because I'm not backing down or backing out and saying something somebody wants me to say. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. I'm going to speak the truth. I'm going to speak it from the rooftops and say, Jesus is Lord. He's the answer. He's the answer. He never changes. Amen. How many of us looked in the mirror this morning? Have we seen any changes taking place? See, when you're a young person, you look in the mirror and you make, okay. And then when you get a few years on you, truth and error. Look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is and springs from God. And he who loves his fellow man is begotten, born of God, and is coming, listen, progressively to know and understand God, to perceive, recognize, and get better and clearer knowledge of him. So you understand this, that you and I, as we move through life, should be maturing and growing in Christ Jesus. Let's go to the next verse. He who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him, for God is love. If we're a believer and we've got problems with people, we need to go back into a prayer closet somewhere and don't come out until we real know we're born again and spirit-filled. There's no room to hate anybody. Let me try that again. There's no room to hate anybody. Well, Pastor, what voice do you listen to? I listen to the voice of the Spirit. Hallelujah, glory to God. Amen? Verse 8, he who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and ever know him, for God, say God, is love. Now put your car in reverse. So let's go back up to the third chapter, verse 24. He who keeps my commandments. You and I don't have a shot to keep his commandments without the help of the Holy Ghost. Can't do it. The Word and the Spirit will conquer any foe. His commandments, listen now to what it says, who obey his orders and follow his plan. Live and continue to live. When you say I do at the altar, you're making a decision to live and then continue to live. Are there bumpy roads in a marriage? There are bumpy roads in any relationship. But what do? Find the detour. If there's something in the road, you know what you should do? Get out and maybe move it off the road. Don't stop in a relationship because you run into a bad spot. When potholes show up in the spring, you and I have a choice to go around it or take the car to the shop after we go into the rut and bust the strut. Go a little bit further here now. Continue to live. Now listen, continue to live means to stay and abide in him and he in them. So Jesus is looking for a place to live. My house, the Bible talks about this is the temple of the Holy Ghost. My place is to love God so much that he has a key to the front door. He can come in anytime he wants to and find my house spiritually in good order. Everything we have in our house in the natural and what we have in the spirit should be open to everybody to see. We're not hiding anything. Why? Because our life is a life of truth. It's a life of love. It's a life of obedience to God. That's the only way I can live. I'm preaching to myself now. I can't live any other way. If I start messing up, I can't get into this pulpit and preach the good news of Christ because I love God so much. I want to be obedient to what his word says. They let Christ be a home to them, and they are a home of Christ. Wow. Open the doors and say, welcome, Jesus, this day into my life. Come on, sit down and have something at the breakfast table. Amen. And by this, we be a home to them, and they are a home of Christ. And by this, we know and understand and have the proof that he really lives and makes his home in us by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. When tomorrow shows up, I want to be ready when my eyes open, accepting anything God brings my way, because I'm about telling people all about Jesus. There has not been a greater time in history, a greater opportunity. The Bible says redeem the time. It talks about buying an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. Yeah, I'm kind of shy. Stop being shy. How can you be shy in your personality when the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is on the inside of you? I'm looking for something to raise up from the dead. Every day is an opportunity. Say opportunity. Well, Pastor, you don't know where I work. They're all heathen. Well, it's about time you made those heathen believers. Let's take on the challenge. Do you think God has you there for a reason? Yes, he does. Didn't I tell your husband last week that he's in a place that's not the best place to work for and at, but he looks at that as his mission field. People come in there, other people would not want to walk on the same side of the street, am I right? But his heart opens up and he receives them not only as the best worker that they have, but he goes like this and embraces them with the good news of Jesus Christ. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I'm sure there are times when somebody didn't have enough money, he'd pull out of his pocket and pay for it. Am I right? Without even knowing that, I know it's true. That's the kind of a heart he has for people. Guess what? He is winning people into the kingdom of God just by that great love that he's shown, that agape love. Well, Chad, I don't have enough money. That's all right. I'll take care of it this time. Next time you come by, you can drop it off. Because he knows they don't have it and they're destitute. Can I give you one more verse? We'll go home. Fair enough? Look at verse number 8. He who does not love has not become acquainted with and never did know him, for God is what?
Love.
So what is a description of God? He is love. Say, God is agape love, unconditional. In this, the love of God was made manifested and displayed, where we are concerned in that God sent his Son, the only begotten unique Son, into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation, an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Beloved, if God loved us so very much, we ought also to love one another. What should stop us from loving our fellow man? We're not just talking about believers, people in general. We've got to change the mindset by bringing the good news of Christ. You and I could win more people by never opening our mouth, but opening up our hearts and letting people see the love we have for them. Amen? Perilous times are not here to stay. They'll come and go. But the word of God is here. It's here to stay, and it will change the world that we live in till Jesus Christ comes back. Bow your heads right where you are for a moment. I hope this message has encouraged you this morning, those that are watching around the globe, listening. Jesus loves you, cares about you. Harvest Church is going to stand right now and say a prayer and join me for you right now. If you need Christ in your life, if you're looking for peace in the midst of the storm, he brought a great calm to a great storm. In our life right now, there seems to be a storm every time we open our eyes. But the great calm of the Holy Spirit through Jesus is coming your way right now. If you'd like to receive Christ in your life, everybody here at Harvest Church will join you. Simply say this prayer with me. Jesus,
I realize
I need to change
my life.
And the only way
I can do that
is through you.
Your name
is synonymous with peace. Today I receive you into my life. Ask you to forgive me of my sins and make me a brand new person. The Bible puts it this way, young lady, young man. Old things pass away. Old things are gone. Everything from this point on is going to become brand new. We love you and appreciate you, and hopefully someday we'll see you. If you live close to the church, stop by. If not, we'll see you when we get to heaven. Amen.